Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Okay, this is a slightly longer quote, but I just really like it because it has a lot in it. "I do not understand exactly what you mean by fear," said Tarzan. "Like lions, fear is a different thing in different men. But to me, the only pleasure in the hunt is the knowledge that the hunted thing has power to harm me as much as I have to harm him. If I went out with a couple of rifles and a gun bearer and 20 or 30 beaters to hunt a lion, I should not feel that the lion had much chance. And so the pleasure of the hunt would be lessened in proportion to the increased safety which I felt. Then I am to take it that Monsieur Tarzan would prefer to go naked in the jungle, armed only with a jackknife to kill the king of beasts," laughed the other good-naturedly, but with the merest touch of sarcasm in his tone. "And a piece of rope," added Tarzan. So this is Tarzan and D'Arnaud in conversation. I love it because it's dialogue. Mm-hmm. I love it because it starts very seriously. Tarzan is explaining that difference in hunting with, I mean, let's face it, most animal rights activists would say that any kind of hunting with guns and knives and, you know, I mean, it's not fair. The animal doesn't have a chance, right? You know, take a shotgun and go get a rabbit. What's a poor rabbit going to defend himself with? You know, so it's that element. It's very serious. And he's explaining that the pleasure in the hunt is only there if it's an equal fight, mm-hmm. right? And then it kind of turns into this humorous little, you know, thing. I love that it has humor in it too, and a piece of rope. You know, he's like, mm-hmm. Jack Nike, yeah, but and a piece of rope. And so I like that D'Arnaud has his voice in this passage as well. It's a conversational thing, and so I like it. I think it's good.
Yeah, and I like what you mentioned about the humor, because I think that part of why Tarzan was so popular is that idea that we can, you know, sit back and kind of marvel and say like, yeah, look how talented this boy is, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's, I think one of the reasons also it's so popular is because although it has these serious, you know, tones and thoughts in it, like, you know, the pleasure of the hunt is only there if the fight is equal, right? But there's also humor in this book. There's romance in this book. There's, you know, there's all kinds, there's jealousy, there's wealth and poverty. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff in the book that make it a fun read. And mm-hmm. this passage kind of, you know, has at least two of those elements in it. So I like it. It's up yeah. to you where to place it. Now, this is a much longer quote. This is terribly long, but I'll do my best to read it. And I don't know why I had to make it so long, but I love it. Now, I will have to say one thing before I read this quote. Clayton is the character in the book who basically has, because no one knew that Tarzan existed as Lord Greystoke's son, Clayton is his cousin, basically, who has inherited the lands and the title in England, unbeknownst to Tarzan, who's been living in the jungle, not knowing who the heck he was. She glanced at Clayton out of the corner of her eye. Was not here a man trained in the same school of environment in which she had been trained, a man with social position and culture such as she had been taught to consider as the prime essentials in congenial association? Did not her best judgment point to this young English nobleman, whose love she knew to be of the sort a civilized woman should crave as the logical mate for such as herself? Could she love Clayton? She could see no reason why she could not. Jane was not coldly calculating by nature, but training, environment, and heredity had all combined to teach her to reason, even in matters of the heart. That she had been carried off her feet by the strength of the young giant when his great arms were about her in the distant African forest, and again today in the Wisconsin woods, seemed to her only attributable to a temporary mental reversion to type on her part, to the psychological appeal of the primeval man to the primeval woman in her nature. If he should never touch her again, she reasoned, she would never feel attracted toward him. She had not loved him then. It had been nothing more than a passing hallucination, superinduced by excitement and by personal contact. Excitement would not always mark their future relations, should she marry him, and the power of personal contact eventually would be dulled by the familiarity. Again, she glanced at Clayton. He was very handsome and every inch a gentleman. She should be very proud of such a husband. And then he spoke. A minute sooner or a minute later might have made all the difference in the world to three lives. But chance stepped in and pointed out to Clayton the psychological moment. "You are free now, Jane," he said. "Won't you say yes? I will devote my life to making you very happy." "Yes," she whispered. Ah, there's so much in that. And there's so much contextually that we would have to discuss. But, you know, they're all out of the jungle now. The only thing that isn't known is that Tarzan is the true heir to the position that Clayton has. So she is trying to decide, having experienced Tarzan in Africa and in Wisconsin, where she lives, where Clayton is, has got, you know, I mean, she is torn between these two guys, and she's rationalizing picking Clayton over Tarzan. And this, to me, just says so much about relationships. Now, it's definitely dated in context, you know, if, as far as her reasonings of why she would pick Clayton over Tarzan and all that. But it's also timeless in a way. I mean, you know. Don't you think? I mean, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. No, I really, again, I think it adds complexity to the characterization of Jane. Mm-hmm. And I love that in a time period where the thought was, oh, women are just too emotional.
She's not. Yeah.
She's this nice, and she's not totally calculating either. No. She's this blend of, you know, heart and reason. And she's thinking through, okay, what are the long-term prospects for this relationship? So I think that she is using her complete judgment as a human being in this moment.
And it's also the emphasis on what she's been taught, a man with social position and culture, such as she had been taught to consider as the prime essentials to congenial association. Okay, congenial association is marriage, you know, in this context. But so I feel like this is just really powerful. And it's very long. It's a longer passage, so I don't know how we would deal with that. But we've had longish passages in the past. I think it's, you know, and actually, you know, there was just a lot. By the time you get to this point in the book, this is like the moment that she makes a decision that, oh my God, is just gonna ruin everything for everybody. But this is, you know, in terms of romance, this is her moment where she whispers yes, that the rest of the novel depends on this moment, let's just put it that way. And so it's a very important moment.
Yeah, this is a good choice. Yeah, my only objection to this is that it is so long. Yeah. Other than that, I love this as a choice.
And we might be able to, you know, do some dot dot dots and take some stuff out and make it a little shorter, but in the meantime, let me go on to my next quote, because I do have another one. Okay. His thoughts were broken in upon by the station agent, who entered asking if there was a gentleman by the name of Tarzan in the party. "I am Monsieur Tarzan," said the ape man. "Here is a message for you, forwarded from Baltimore. It is a cablegram from Paris." Tarzan took the envelope and tore it open. The message was from D'Arnaud. It read, "Fingerprints prove you Greystoke. Congratulations, D'Arnaud." As Tarzan finished reading, Clayton entered and came toward him with an extended hand. Here was the man who had Tarzan's title and Tarzan's estate and was going to marry the woman whom Tarzan loved, the woman who loved Tarzan. Wow.
Yeah, it's very powerful. Very powerful. Yeah.
It's just, I get emotional because it's like one of those things you can relate to, where a moment, one thing can happen in a moment that changes the rest of your life, you know. And this is that moment for Tarzan. He knows he who he is now. It's been confirmed, and here's this guy who he likes and respects. They like each other, you know, and this guy is taking everything from him, unbeknownst to the guy, you know. And Tarzan has to do what? What's next for him? And I stopped the quote there because I didn't want to give away the rest of the story, but his, how he reacts to this situation is the rest of, you know, is not in this quote, but I mean, it's just like, wow, you know, it's just one of those moments.
Right. I like about it that it is such a pivotal moment because it happens so late in the book. Is it too much of a spoiler?
I don't think so, because we already know, because we've lived in, you know, we've lived past when this book came out, you know, and has become such a popular thing. We know Tarzan is Lord Greystoke. We know that. We also know it because at the very beginning of the book, we know he's the baby that's born of the, you know, Greystoke and his wife Alice. So I don't think it's too much of a spoiler. The spoiler is not in this quote, what he does, because we also know by this point that Tarzan has those instincts of the wild creature, the beast, the, you know, in the life in the jungle, you know. That Tarzan should kill this guy immediately. It's self-defense. It's, you know, he would attack him, kill him, he'd get his property, his woman, done. However, he has become civilized. Part of him is now civilized. He knows what civilization expects of an English gentleman, which he is. And now it's confirmed that's who he is. There's no doubt he is the true Lord Greystoke. What comes after this quote is what we don't want to give the spoiler away, right? So I think there's a lot in this that's worthy of discussion. How it works as the project's standalone passage for this book, I don't know. You know, it depends on what we want to focus on when we're talking about the standalone passage. Do we want it to be on identity and, you know, expected behaviors, cultural norms, or are we going to lean more towards relationship? What are we going to look at? I just wanted it in there because if you're reading this book, I challenge you to get to this point and not get a little bit emotional. It's really, it's really heartbreaking because this guy has lived a life of abandonment, isolation. He doesn't know who he is. He can't communicate with, you know, I mean, until Darno teaches him how to speak, and that's French. He teaches him in French, you know. So he's, I mean, every step of the way, this guy has had challenges to finding himself, if you will, and becoming who he truly can be in the world. And this is just such a knock. I mean, it's in the same moment confirmed who he is, his identity resolved. And in that very moment, there's Clayton, the man who has everything that belongs to Tarzan. And it's just, it's so sad. It's just, I just get really upset.
Yeah, it's a definitive moment. Absolutely.
It is that. Well, and I mean, I don't know. I think people could relate to that moment of whether, maybe not so literal, fingerprints have proved you a certain person, right? But there's a most people have a moment where their identity, they know who they truly are and why, you know, what makes them that that individual unique person. With a name, with a presence in the world, not just like I know my soul, but I know who I am in other people's eyes, you know, that moment of identity. And so I feel like it is sort of relatable to that. And then there's also the relatableness of visually knowing, literally seeing in a moment, everything taken from you. People can, you know, that's happened to people too. So I feel like there's a lot in there. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. And how you respond to coveting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you see that somebody has something I want, how do you respond in that moment?
And a little bit more subtly in this is a gender issue of possession. I mean, Tarzan puts Jane, Mary, the woman whom Tarzan loved, the woman who loved Tarzan. Yes, there's love there, but this is a possessive thing. She is listed in the same thing as the title, Tarzan's title, Tarzan's estate. And then what it he did, Edgar Rice Burroughs was very clever. He didn't say "and Tarzan's woman." He said "and was going to marry the woman to whom Tarzan loved." He put it back in romantic context. But in between the lines, it's Tarzan's title, Tarzan's estate, Tarzan's woman. I mean, and Clayton, you know, has a possessive interest and it comes across he's a very nice man. He's the Ashley Wilkes of this story. He's a gentleman, right? But Jane is also something he wants to possess, a thing, a person. He wants her to be his wife in all that kind of old-fashioned possessive quality of the time period of this story represents. So there's a lot going on in this passage.
There is a lot going on in it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you think? Do you think it's suitable to be one of the standalone quotes, or is it more of a podcast quote?
I don't know. I can't decide. We're going to have to come back to all these and rediscuss them. Yeah. Join us next time as we continue our discussion of potential passages from Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.